if you continue to effort, good things will come. Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some Oregon hoops, some football. And as I've been telling you, the guy who covers them both for the Register Guard, find his work in the sports section of the paper. Online, you got a couple choices, registerguard.com, ducksports.com, on Twitter. The handle is at @SteveMims_RG. Steve, how are things?
I'm good, Steve. I'm glad we were able to connect.
Yeah, me too. Miracle of technology. So last night at a Matt Knight Arena, I know this team has some folks excited, ranked in the top 15 of the preseason poll. Folks excited about Bowl Bowl, some of the new faces. But just overall, the atmosphere, I saw nearly 7,700 people at that game for a practice game. That shows folks are pretty much engaged, no?
Yeah, no, I think fans are definitely have been waiting. You know, they've heard about Bull Bull for a year and a half now, so I think they were kind of waiting for the opportunity to go out there and see him. And last night being the first one, and knowing they were going to get a pretty good run. You know, nobody knew showing up. There were only seven scholarship players to go, but once they found out, they'd get an extended view. I think people were, like to say, he's different, as they say. You know, he four dunks, a spinning three-pointer, 19 points, and walked away. So it was I think the home crowd felt like they got what they looked for in the debut from him.
Yeah, I saw that turnaround three-pointer and then the alley-oop off the pass from Victor Bailey that was a little behind him. And it was just like, yeah, that doesn't look like something you see that often. But you mentioned they were shorthanded. I want to start with the circumstances surrounding Peyton Pritchard. What was his medical issue and I guess his prognosis moving forward as far as next Tuesday, Portland State, next Friday against Eastern Washington? Where are we at with him?
Yeah, well, I think I think everything said beforehand that it was bruised ribs, and it sounded like it was going to be precautionary, but, you know, Dane Altman afterwards wasn't quite going there. He said that, you know, basically said he couldn't have played. You know, last night had been the opener, he wouldn't have been able to play. So they feel like 4 or 5 days those ribs will heal and he'll be good to go. But it's not like, you know, hey, he could have gone, but for precautionary reasons they held him out. It sounded like he literally couldn't have gone last night. And I think if you watched that game, you saw he's pretty important to this team, you know, in particular – the backup, Will Richardson, being out right now. The transfer, Amin, they like, but I think you saw last night, he's more of a two-guard than he is a point guard. So if anything last night showed us anything kind of behind the scenes, it's just how important Pritchard's going to be to this team.
You know, Steve, in football, if there's a blowout early in the season, you like to see maybe the backup quarterback or quarterbacks get some in live game action. In this case, with Pritchard as the point guard, you know, some guys got an opportunity who may not have. So I know you mentioned one name, but who did they have running that offense? And is there a benefit to kind of get them out there? And even though it's an exhibition game, it's an actual, you know, a game situation.
I think so, although I think if you look last night, you didn't see a whole lot from the guys who maybe wouldn't have gotten minutes. You know, Will Johnson's a walk-on who practice last year is at Richard, who's a Richard freshman. Dane Altman said, hey, you know, I'd have no problem throwing him out there. He played 14 minutes last night and didn't do a whole lot for him. Like I say, Amin was probably better. He's kind of a guy who can drive to the basket for you. He's pretty physical there, but not a real distributor or point guard. Miles Norris, who's a tall freshman, kind of probably the last developing of the freshman they have, got in for a few minutes, but didn't do a whole lot. In fact, at one point, couldn't inbound the ball. He kind of dropped the ball in the inbound pass, and the one guy who did maybe do something with some minutes was Abu Kijab, who didn't play a lot last year, got a start last night because the lineup had got 11 points. So if anybody maybe took advantage of the opportunity to get a little extra run last night, it was them.
Talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard, another guy who sat out is Lewis King, 5-star, and of course I like him, a fellow Jersey guy. I know you've only seen him on a limited basis, so kind of a two-parter. What kind of injury issue is he dealing with? And what could you tell us maybe about his game and the role he likely fills?
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part. You know, I mean, it's a torn meniscus, which is 10 months out now, and everybody I talk to keeps telling me that seems like an extremely long time for a torn meniscus, and wonders if maybe there's something else there too, because, you know, that's just not normally a 10-month rehab type deal. It's not an ACL type thing. So there's some question. You know, I mean, he went through when they had that kind of open scrimmage a couple weeks ago. He went through the 3-point contest, and he's shooting in practice, and he's not going through warm-ups, obviously, during games. But it seems like he's getting closer, but you also just wonder how long it's gone. If you know, and once he comes in, it's going to take a while to, you know, he's going to be on limited minutes for a little while. So I really do think that there's no time. I think they'd like to think they can get him on the court December 1st and maybe have him up to full speed by the time Pac-12 starts. But I think he's really important. Again, as we saw last night, I think they feel like he's a 6'9", 3", which can create some real matchup problems just with his size. Then you add in kind of five-star talent. I think they were counting on him a lot this year, and I think he may be kind of the real linchpin to what they do this year. If they can get him at least, you know, 30 minutes, 28 minutes a game during conference play, if they can, I think it really kind of stretches their depth a little bit there.
Let's move over to football. After that wild overtime win against Washington, I mean, you know, they did only manage 3 points in that second half, a total dud the first half in Pullman. Then, of course, just an awful four-quarter performance last week. I don't know, injuries, motivated opponents, road games. What's been the word, you know, the folks you've been talking to is, what the heck has gone so wrong the past couple games?
Yeah, it's kind of unexplainable why they've gotten so far, again, you know, away from the run. I mean, the Washington State game, they obviously fell behind 27-0, but the last week kind of was getting away from them. But, you know, even with the Oregon offense, you know, you'd feel like even if you're down 3 touchdowns in the first half, you know, it's not a panic mode time, though. You can still run it, but I think the last 2 weeks, Herbert's averaged 46 attempts a game, and they've had a total of 47 rushes. So, I mean, this team under Cristobal has really kind of made it pretty clear they'd like to be 60-40 leaning to the run. They've almost been 75% leaning to the pass. And like you say, there have been some deficits, but at the same time, I think maybe they're giving up on the run a little bit more than people would have thought these last 2 weeks, considering just kind of how high-powered that offense can be. It doesn't feel like 21-0 is a time when, you know, the other team's going to grind it out. And that still kind of feels like a time when Oregon kind of do its thing and then try to get back in the game.
You know, last week they were preparing, and it was either, you know, a guy in the pocket for Rhett Rodriguez or the man who exploded on the scene last year, the dual threat, Khalil Tate, you know, preparing for two different styles of quarterback. So even though I've fallen into a time warp, it seems like we got kind of a similar scenario upon Oregon this week for UCLA. What have the guys been saying about, you know, preparing for another pair and, you know, the challenges presented by both of them?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned Tate had missed the game the week before. So you didn't know if he was coming back. He did. And now UCLA, you know, Dorian Thompson Robinson's the guy they want to go with. He's the freshman, but they've kind of gone with him. But then he was injured last week, so he missed the game. So kind of the same thing. Now you come in and, you know, the report's out of practice. I think you may remember Chip Kelly doesn't exactly announce his starting quarterback on Wednesday every week. Sometimes he'll let those little secrets drag out a little bit. So I think everybody expects at this point Thompson Robinson came back and he'll get the start. But, you know, I think Chip probably checks out how effective he is, and if he has to go to the senior Wilton Spate, they'll do that. But, yeah, it is somewhat similar that, you know, Robinson's kind of more the Tate guy, and Spate's a little bit more of the guy who can throw a little bit, and, you know, the read option isn't going to be much of a threat to run there as much as maybe Thompson Robinson was.
A couple final thoughts for Steve Mims. So fans got a bit of a scare with Justin Herbert and concussion protocol, along with his top target, Dylan Mitchell. I know Herbert's back practicing. So any update? Well, what's the latest on the quarterback? And is there any update on if Mitchell's going to be available tomorrow?
I haven't seen an update on Mitchell. It seems like you're leaning towards, I'd be surprised if he was, but, you know, he certainly won't run out there. And Herbert, I think he will. I mean, I just think once he passed that protocol, Oregon's certainly going to monitor him. But I think once the doctors clear your quarterback, especially when the difference between your one and your two quarterbacks is so different, I'd be pretty surprised if, you know, once he's cleared, if Oregon didn't throw him out there.
And lastly, had Oregon cranked out a couple of wins the past 2 weeks and been in the thick of the division race, and UCLA maybe not struggled, I think this game would have more national attention with Chip Kelly returning. But from fans and colleagues that you're hearing from here in town, you think the buzz has been pretty palpable with Chip coming back?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, though. And I think also, you know, when people looked a year ago at him coming back, I don't think people thought he'd be 2-6. You know, I think people thought, well, Chip's going to come back and kind of have that team at least kind of, you know, on the way up, and that's not the case. Now Oregon's lost two, so I just think performance has taken the luster off both. But I tell you one thing, I was telling somebody, if you don't think this game's important, imagine leading Oregon and running off the field with a three-run run. I think there'll be a booster in Oregon and Under Armour running that awesome victory tomorrow.
All right. Well, Steve, I appreciate you sticking with us and finally hooking up. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We always appreciate your time. DuckSports.com, RegisterGuard.com on Twitter. It's at @SteveMims_RG. Look forward to seeing you up on Press Row, Steve. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Good luck, Steve.
Take it easy.